RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Racing at its best yesterday in both Sydney and Melbourne. Incentivise, the highlight in Melbourne. Three Group 1s in Sydney. Hugh Bowman's 100th Group 1. And the first Group 1 for Tavachi as a stallion. Plenty to talk about this morning with Joe McKinnon. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Warren. Wasn't it a sensational day of racing in Sydney and Melbourne in particular yesterday? You've had a great chat there with Peter Moody about Incentivise and his performance in the Turnbull Stakes at Flemington. What a performance that was, easy to say, but I guess going into the race, it's fair to say that some were not quite believing what they'd been seeing up until that point, but I think yesterday he well and truly proved that he is quite a freak of a racehorse.
Yeah, the believers got paid yesterday, and congratulations to Chris Waller and his team. What an amazing job they do on social media. At this stage, nothing evident in terms of anything amiss with Very Elegant. They'll go over with a fine-tooth comb over the next couple of days, but nothing at this stage. She seemed to have her chance. And on a day where we've talked about a couple of highlights originally, Joe, you know, the win of Masked Crusader on itself might have been a highlight on any other Saturday. So much to talk about with yesterday.
Yeah, there sure is. Yeah, it was disappointing to see Very Elegant run like that yesterday, but they can all put in an ordinary one. Notably, though, before the race, she paraded in a far calmer manner than usual, and that was noted by the expert commentators on the TV coverage. So perhaps something going on in the background there. Mares can be a bit funny in spring sometimes.
Yeah, watching it on the coverage, I thought in terms of her physical makeup, it's the best I haven't seen her in the flesh for a while. But watching her yesterday, the TV coverage, I thought, you know, she's never or rarely going to be a pick of the yard. She was a bit of a coat hanger and a bit anxious and on the toe, as you said, as a young horse. I thought she looked perfect yesterday, and maybe she's better when she's not in a good mood, Joe.
Well, a lot of mares are like that. We talk about that often on this program. But also in Sydney yesterday, Warren, some great racing there with a number of Group 1s, including the time-honoured Epsom Handicap. Always love a great Miles Stoush at Randwick.
And one in the manner of, you know, old-time Epsoms and Doncasters, the sweeping run down the outside. I was fortunate enough to spend a bit of time with Guy Walter. What a loss he was to racing industry and life in general so young. When he travelled horses down to Melbourne, I don't think I've met a more meticulous trainer. He wanted to know every 200-metre section that a horse was galloping, even if it was only going evens, and just, you know, had his eye on the horse. And, you know, great to see Jamie Walter taking that family tradition with his syndication business, Proven Thoroughbreds, and taking out the Epsom yesterday.
Yes, Jamie Walter, a great milestone for him yesterday with his first Group 1 winner with Joe Pride. A terrific performance by the horse coming from well back. Only a cheap buy two from the Adelaide yearling sales. And Jamie from Proven Thoroughbreds is our special guest on the segment this morning to discuss the winning performance of Private Eye in the Epsom. Congratulations, Jamie.
Thank you very much, Joe. Very sweet.
Yeah, I bet it was. I would imagine you were watching it from your lounge room or somewhere similar yesterday.
Yes, I was watching it with one of my three sons, and we raised the roof at the 200. It was a thrilling finish, as Warren just said, much in the manner of traditional Epsoms, with the horse from rearward position flashing home, and that's Private Eye's style. And Joe kind of figured he'd be really suited to a high-pressure race like this, and so it turned out, with the speed on the whole way.
And credit to Joe Pride, who had set this horse for the race a long time out. The preparation was quite meticulous.
Yeah, well, after we won the Queensland Guineas, we had to obviously map out a program for the spring, and clearly the Golden Eagle for gelding like Private Eye was an obvious target. He's only four once, and it's massive money, extraordinary money. And looking at the calendar, the Epsom was beautifully timed. Month obviously now to the Golden Eagle, but Joe noted that Colding, who won both races, went down the same path. So that's what we tried to emulate.
Mm. Well, the race is looking good for him now. How has he recovered from yesterday's run in the more immediate sort of hours?
He's in great order. Joe's said all along what a tough horse he is, and this morning was no different. He's eaten up and he's nice and sound and bright. He's a rare horse, Joe. They don't come along very often. I've waited a long time for one like this.
You sure have. Renowned for having an astute eye for a thoroughbred, Jamie, but you plucked this horse out of the Adelaide sales and didn't have to pay a lot for him, well, certainly in hindsight, considering his earnings are now in excess of $1.4 million, but $62,500 you paid for him out of the Ambergate draft.
Well, let me firstly say, Joe, I bought a hell of a lot of slow ones too for a similar price. But with this particular horse, he had a half-brother called Royal Witness that Joe trained, the first foal of this mare, a Chamadale mare, and he wasn't a bad little horse. Joe sort of got him later in his career and won about three or four in town with him, so I was mindful of that when I was looking at this horse, and he was quite an athletic type, bred at a good stud, Goodwood Farm, Kerry Tibby up in the Hunter Valley. And clearly the price was right. I didn't really mind Almahara as a sire either. So sort of all came together, and I contacted Joe and asked whether he was going to be bidding on the horse. And he contacted the owners of Royal Witness and said no. So the horse was actually knocked down to Adrian Hancock's from Magic Millions because I'd flown back to Sydney and got Adrian on the phone. And fortunately, we got him for the price we did.
Yeah, a bargain buy as you look back at that moment. What was it, apart from the pedigree and the mare side and what she produced, that you liked about this horse individually at that age?
Well, I've seen a lot of horses over the years, Joe, and you'd like to think, and you've done it for as long as I have, you pick up a few things. Almahar, a lot of his stock are pretty bulky, particularly through the forequarter, and this guy was a lot leaner, and I mentioned earlier, just a little bit more athletic. He was a slightly bigger horse than Royal Witness as well. And, you know, he was nice and correct. He moved okay. He wasn't a flash mover, but he moved okay. So, yeah, that's looking to sort of identify reasons why you buy horses. There's probably about five factors. There's pedigree, type. Obviously, you've got to get a vet with a tick. The farm they're from, I think, is also pretty important. And most important of all is the price, because I would say at least 50% of the horses we bid on we don't get because we get outbid. So it all came together.
How frustrating is it then to miss out on so many?
Oh, Joe, you learn to roll with the punches. Everyone in racing I've ever met's got an underbidder story. rather than give yourself a pat on the back for, oh, aren't I a good judge, you just look forward to the next sale.
Yeah. Gee, how many horses did you've inspected at yearling sales over the years, roughly? Been well into the thousands.
I'd say so, Joe. We have about 100 horses under management currently with proven thoroughbreds, and we've been in syndication for about 20 years, certainly expanded in the last few years. How many have I looked at? God, I shudder to think, Joe.
But you do absolutely love it. I mean, when people observe you at the yearling sales in your safari-style hat, Jamie, you've got a real intense go about you.
Well, yes, the hat was inherited from my father, and it's become a bit of a signature. Very practical hat, though, Joe. in Australian summer. far more practical than some of those baseball caps people wear, but that's another discussion.
Yes, and what about the influence of your late brother Guy on your judgment of a horse?
Oh, he would be far and away the biggest influence on me and the career that we've sort of carved out. No question of that. We talked endlessly about horses. Sharing a passion is a rare and special thing with a sibling, and we lived every moment of it, and I followed his career very closely. I worked with him for big chunks of the career, and I actually part-owned his first winner. So it was a huge influence and a huge loss.
Yes, he's still so fondly reflected upon as a person, Guy, and much missed in the racing industry and beyond, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he carved out a great reputation because he was a fundamentally decent and kind person who was dedicated to his horses, and he sort of put the horse before everything else. You know, clearly he was ambitious, like anyone who spends a lifetime in a career is, but his love of the horse was probably what shone through to me the most. Whatever sort of financial benefits and the notoriety he received from success was secondary to his absolute passion for dealing with horses.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he'd be very proud of your achievement with his horse yesterday. Looking down upon Randwick, it was a wonderful outcome. Next stop, obviously the Golden Eagle, exciting times ahead. Looking beyond this spring, what are you thinking with this horse might be likely?
Well, Guy once said to me, when they're improving Joe, you never know when they're going to stop. It could be next week, it could be next month, it could be 6 months, 12 months, who knows? This horse, I don't know whether you saw the Queensland Guineas win, but he won as if he could run 2,000 metres that day. And Brenton Abdallah suggested as much when he got off him. So, who knows, really? We might be planning a Cox Plate in 12 months' time. But you, I think with horses like this, you've got to have targets, but those targets have to be tempered by the horse's progress and how they perform.
We had Peter Moody on at the top of the program, Jamie, and before we let you go, be interested in your thoughts on the performance of Incentivised at Flemington yesterday.
Well, what an extraordinary horse. 8 victories in a row, and to come from where he came from in restricted races in Queensland, wasn't that long ago I saw him win a race at Ipswich, to be taking Group 1s in such emphatic fashion. He's a high-class horse. There's no question about that. And the opposition had their chance again yesterday. When he was winning in Queensland, he was just charging away from moderate rivals. And what's been noticeable in his last two Group 1 victories is they're the best horses in the country at that trip coming at him, and he fights them off. So he's got a tremendous will to win, combined with, I think Peter said, a hell of a set of lungs on him. It's hard to see him being beaten.
Yeah, absolutely. well summed up there, Jamie. Well, thank you for your time on the program this morning. And once again, congratulations on a well-deserved Group 1 Epsom Handicap win yesterday with Private Eye. And we wish you all the best of luck in the Golden Eagle.
Thank you very much, Joe. Can't win without luck.
Yeah, we need plenty of that. Warren, Jamie Walter there. I just love hearing people like Jamie articulating all things racing.
Yeah, and I've received messages while Jamie was on air, Joe, eerily similar to listening to his late great brother Guy talking. That hat, I don't think, is the only thing that's been passed down in the family, that meticulous way of talking, not wasting words, and very measured in the way that he talks and the way he operates his business, is something that was very much the trademark of Guy.
Yeah, it certainly was. He was a great man, Guy, wasn't he? And as Jamie rightly said, he was just so passionate about horses. I remember sitting at Golden Races many years ago in the grandstands with Guy, taking a couple of runners down there. He used to love taking his horses to Golden, and we sat in that grandstand in the beautiful sunshine for what seemed like hours, endlessly talking about horses. I learned so much from him that day about racing.
So willing to share too, and a selfless man in that way. And in the words that that Jamie just put forward with Guy, they resonate with Incentivise. You never know when a horse is going to stop improving, and he's certainly on an upward spiral as Incentivise, fitting that mould of the way that that Jamie's looking at Private Eye for the future.
Yeah, and wasn't it interesting to hear his thoughts on Incentivise, a horse he doesn't obviously have a hand in, but judges like that, when they're talking in those realms about a horse, you really stop and listen.
Absolutely, and a big day for Hugh Bowman yesterday too, Joe. I mean, 25 of his 100 Group 1s have come aboard Winx, but it's an amazing achievement, 100 Group 1s, rare air for a rider. And David Payne's handled Monophilia very well. I know Dean Lester was very keen on Monophilia heading into the Metropolitan yesterday. It wasn't a decisive victory in terms of margin, but she was terrific there yesterday.
Yes, there was a bit of a doubt about her ability to possibly run out a strong 2,400 metres, but she got to the line yesterday under that great riding by Hugh Bowman. And congratulations to Hughie on bringing up that 100th Group 1 win. An extraordinary career from Hugh, who came from humble beginnings, has been well documented growing up in Dunedoo. Early days of riding on the central western New South Wales circuit as an amateur rider at the picnics, and look at the career he's carved out for himself since. Quite amazing.
And by his own admission, he's had a little bit of a Winx hangover, and I think Luke Dolan probably had a bit of a, you know, Black Caviar hangover too, following such an association with a high profile and successful horse. It would take some time to get over something like that and learn to live with life without such a champion.
Yeah, and I think, like anyone that's worked or been involved in something so demanding and intense for so long and under so much pressure, There needs to be some time out, if you like, to release the pressure a bit. And as you say, I mean, it's described as a hangover, I'm not sure, but it's been an extraordinary achievement by Hugh to have guided that mare along with others to all of that success. But it has to take time to recover mentally and physically from a journey like that. But certainly recovered now.
I think you've described it better in a relief of pressure rather than a hangover there. It's a better choice of words there, Joe. Great day for Tavachi and Waikato Stud. You and I have been lucky enough to enjoy the company of the Chittick family at Waikato Stud. What a great family they are. What a great business they are for the racing industry in general. And Tavachi's got his stallion career off to a terrific start.
Yeah, he sure has, a Waikato Stud. I fondly remember that trip with you, Warren, and a number of other media people from Australia. I remember we did some clay target shooting out there at Waikato at their hunting lodge. I was a terrible shot. You were pretty good, though.
Yeah, I managed to take out that trip. One thing I learnt there is that Ron Duffy is never going to the Olympics in target shooting, Joe.
Nor am I can tell you. Oh, dear. But all things serious there. Never Been Kissed, winning the Group 1 flight stakes yesterday. Gay Waterhouse. Just a remarkable trainer, isn't she? That was her 10th win in the flight stakes yesterday. with the Waikato stud bred filly Never Been Kissed. Great name too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Never Been Kissed, the second winner in partnership with Adrian Bott too. So joining in partnership with Adrian hasn't slowed the momentum of Gay. I think Global Glamour might have even been their first Group 1 winner, taking out the Flight Stakes. And they're on a roll at the moment, the big weekend last weekend. So good time to be hitting form leading into the peak of the Spring Carnival down here in Melbourne, Joe.
Yeah, and she was guided to victory by Regan Bayless, very familiar to our Melbourne-based listeners, of course, having begun his career there. He's obviously had the stint in Hong Kong, and when he returned from there, decided to set up camp in Sydney, and that's proven to be a very worthwhile move. But an amazing achievement by him yesterday at Randwick to bring up two Group 1 winners.
Hoping to wake up Regan and have a chat to him sometime in the next 15, 20 minutes or so. And you're right. I mean, he burst onto the scene down here in Melbourne. You can see him storming down the outside of the straight on Redkirk Warrior for David Hayes in those days. And yeah, landmark day for him. It's a tough school, that riding school in Sydney. It's tough everywhere. It's tough here in Melbourne. But with J-Mac and Hugh Bowman and others dominating the scene, you need to be able to forge relationships up there, and could be a great day for Regan in terms of his future up there.
Yeah. And Wasting Hard, that's the story of his life, a bit like Hugh Bowman in many ways. He's a very tall jockey, Regan. He's done well to get down to the weight yesterday, particularly, of course, in the Epsom Handicap. A great day all round, wasn't it? So much to talk about. So you'll have plenty more to cover off on the show.
Absolutely, Joe, and we'll have the Caulfield Guineas next week. Looking forward to leading into the carnival there, only a couple of weeks out from the Everest. Thanks for joining us this morning. Look forward to chatting next week.
Pleasure, Warren.
Jamie Kinnan there, talking horses. Wasn't it great to hear the voice of Jamie Walter and have memories of his late great brother, Guy?